Romans chapter number 8, and the bulk of the message was going to be preached tonight, and my time has been truncated into just about 10 minutes, so I'm just kidding, but we'll get through as much as we can. And Romans chapter number 8, you've been seated a while, let's stand together. Verse number 19, preaching on the subject, while we wait, the Bible said, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And here's our text verse. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You can have a seat. Our subject again is wait for it. While we wait. And God has instructed us and given us many, many things to be doing while we're waiting for Him to come. God never intended for us to just get saved, hear the gospel, repent of our sin, and put our faith and trust in Christ and get saved and just sit around and until He comes to get us or takes us home through the grave. That's not God's plan. God had given us a verse after verse after verse of things that we should be doing while we're waiting on Him to come. And obviously we don't have time to preach through all of them, but I do want to look at some of them. And before we dive into that, this morning, if you'll recall, we looked at the hope that has been promised. We have a hope that He promised us. And then we talked about the hold that has been painful, and how it grieved and was so painful to Paul's heart where he failed the Lord, and how he would pray, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" And this was a man, physical pain was a reality to Paul. He experienced physical pain, but in the context, I believe this hold and this pain that he was speaking of was the pain of failing the Lord, the heartbreak that it would grieve him, how that the things that he would find himself doing, the things over and over, Paul would remind us all that he was just a sinner saved by grace. And sometimes we look at and read about the Apostle Paul, and I do believe he was the greatest Christian, one of the greatest, if not the greatest Christian ever to walk planet Earth. But and we have the tendency of reading about people and reading from people like the Apostle Paul and looking at them like some super saint, like some superhero, like we could never get to where they are. But I remind you, Paul even said, and God put it in His Word, Paul said, "I have not apprehended. I haven't got to the level to where I've graduated this thing of being spiritual." And so as spiritual and as godly of a man and women in the Bible as examples, as godly and real and genuine as they were, we dare not look at them as being supernatural, because they were simply sinners saved by the grace of God. And the devil will try to tempt us and distract us get us into to thinking, I could never be that. I can never attain that. And listen, God didn't want you to be Paul, or he would have made you Paul. God didn't want you to be Esther, or he'd have made you Esther. God wanted you to be you. But you can be the best you that God made you to be, and so can I. So we looked at a hope that has been promised and the hold that has been painful, and then the home that has been prepared. And what a blessing to know that. But then part two tonight, every Christian can patiently wait by involving ourselves in the following practices. There are three things we're going to look at tonight that every Christian should be doing while we wait. Number one, we'll deal with observing in patience. There's some things God said that while we're waiting on Him to return, there's some things that we should be observing. And then number two, we'll look at the operating in power. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I don't have to live the Christian life in and of my own power. He has a power source and a dynamo and a dynamite, the power of God that He is willing and ready to put and on the table for it's there for the taking. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth, and Jesus is living through me and you. How many times have you heard somebody say, I'd get saved, but I just can't live the Christian life? And the truth is, you can't live the Christian life. You don't have the power to live the Christian life, and I don't have the power to live the Christian life. Only one man ever did have the power, and his name was Jesus. But when you got saved, what did you say? Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And He took you at your word, and He came into your heart, and He saved you. Now He abides in you, and that power is there. Not only Jesus, but the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? The power of the Holy Ghost is in you and in me as believers. And so you do have the power to operate as a Christian. Amen. So observing in patience is one thing we should be doing while we wait. Operating in power is one of the things. And unless I don't get to this tonight, I'm going to say this before I give you the third one. I believe one of the greatest tragedies and one of the greatest heartbreaks, I believe one of the things that will produce more tears than almost anything else that God will have to wipe away from our eyes when we get to heaven will be when He reveals to us the power that was there for us that we declined and did not take. God has so much power that is untapped that He has for you. Power over sin, power over depression, power over the world, power over the devil, power to live the Christian life that He's called me and you to live. And my goodness, we should tap into that daily. And that's why, it's not in the message, but that's why Paul said, the same one who penned these, Paul said, I die daily. I reckon myself to be dead. I mortify my members. I'm crucified with Christ. Why? He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. And so we should be operating in power. And then third, we should be occupying in productivity. And a lot of people are willing to occupy and just hold a spot. And that's better than not holding a spot. But we should be occupying, and God has commanded us to be productive while we occupy. And so that's the three that we'll look at. But number one, let's look at observing in patience. While we wait, number one, we should be observing in patience. Look again at verse number 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. Romans 8:25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What does it mean to wait patiently? Doesn't the Bible promise a crown for those that love His appearing? Yes, it does. 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. There's a crown for you, and there's a crown for you, and there's a crown for you and for me if we'll simply wake up in the morning and look for His appearing. Amen. Amen. Remember what John the Revelator said in Revelation 22:20. He said, He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Three times in the last chapter of your Bible, Jesus said, I come quickly. I come quickly. God has a timetable. And there's the devil, the world, and or nobody put together is going to thwart that timetable. Everything is happening exactly on schedule as God intended it to happen. Nothing has taken God by surprise. God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He knows everything, and God has marked everything out, and everything has happened exactly how, when, and where on the timetable that God has set forth to date. And if it's been that way for all these thousands of years and all those prophecies have come true, just think about the prophecies about the first coming of Christ when He came and was born of a virgin. I mean, there's a lot of prophecy in the Old Testament about how He would come, where He would come, how He would be born. Many, many, many prophecies that was fulfilled when Jesus came the first time. But do you know there's way more prophecies about His second coming in the Word of God? And just as all the prophecies were fulfilled down to the minute detail, so too will the second. God's timetable, He's not constrained by our impatience. He has a plan that He's been working since the very first day of creation, and probably even way before that, before the annals of time, before the first angel wing ever fluttered, before the first cherubim and seraphim were created, God had a plan and God had mapped out a timeline that it would come to pass, and we're right on schedule. So don't begin to think He's not coming. He is coming. He is coming. And we should be observing His coming in patience, knowing that He's coming right on time. Listen to these verses. I was going to read one verse out of 2 Peter chapter 3, and I got to reading it, and I ended up putting the whole chapter down just about it. But it's right there dealing with exactly what we're talking about. Listen to these verses. 2 Peter 3, verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Listen to verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. I'm dealing with, number one, that we are to be observing in patience. Listen, it has been thousands of years. By my estimation and calculation, it's been about 6,000 years since man was created. It's been about 2,000 plus years since Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected and ascended back to heaven to be seated at the right hand of God. That's a long time. I mean, you think about it. If somebody lives in this life 100 plus years, that's a long, long life. But that's just a drop in the bucket compared to thousands and thousands of years. And so in our little minute minds and in our little pea brains, it may seem like forever and like he ain't come by now. He'll never will. And that's what the Bible just said. There will be scoffers in the last day saying, where is the promise of his coming? But hear me. The Bible said, God said, in your mind, what is 1,000 years in the mind of God is just one day. So don't get impatient that he hadn't come yet. He's coming. Because in God's mind, Jesus died day before yesterday and is coming back tomorrow. Verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The writer is saying, considering that this world is going to burn with a fervent heat, considering the fact that God is coming back just like he said he would to rule and reign, just considering all that's coming, that we ought to live godly and we ought to have a holy conversation or a holy lifestyle and a godly lifestyle. If we really, please, 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 hear me. Don't be bored with this. I know you've heard this preached on, but consider yourself. If you really knew in your heart and believed in your heart what I'm preaching, that if I was to ask the question, how many believe Jesus is coming back? Every hand would be raised. But do we? Oh, maybe we believe he's coming way out yonder one day after a while, but we don't believe he's coming imminently. We don't believe he's coming. We say this, I preach this, he could come before the service is over. And he can. There's not one prophecy that has to be fulfilled that hadn't been fulfilled already that would prevent him from coming. And I simply say this, if you and I truly believed before the sun comes up in the morning, he's coming, I promise you it would change how we act. Things that seem so important and things that we put at the top of our priority list, things that we would fuss and fight over, things that we consume our time, our daily living with, all kinds of things would go out the window in a hurry, and we would rearrange everything in our life, and we would get right with God. I mean, not just a simple little prayer and go back out of the church the way we come in. If we knew he was coming before in the morning, we would repent of our sin. We would draw close to God, and we'd go and tell the world and scream and shout from the mountaintop, he's coming, he's coming. And tell your mama and your daddy that's lost, and your cousins and your neighbors and your friends and even the strangers, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Get right with God. And by our very actions, we don't believe. We say we do, but our lives don't prove that, because we live like he may come one day way out there in the future. And I'm just simply saying, we should be observing in patience. That ain't my opinion about how our lives should be. The Bible said clearly, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to wisdom, giveth unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. I'm dealing with observing in patience. And he's saying, beware lest you fall away. Beware lest you get idle and get sidetracked and get distracted. Beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked. Fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I believe that the Bible commands the child of God to wait patiently because impatience breeds sin. You've heard this. Idleness is the devil's workshop. I think we should be busy doing something good. You ought not be busy doing something bad, but we got plenty of time on our hands. I know how fast-paced society we're living in. I know we seem like we run from one thing to another. But honestly, how much of it has to do with God versus how much of it has to do with what we choose to do and how busy we make our own schedules? Amen, preacher, that's right. That's right. Listen, impatience breeds sin. The mark of a mature believer, according to James, says, James 1, 3 through 4, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We can love His appearing and long for His appearing without getting impatient. Impatient simply means uneasy or fretful under suffering, not bearing pain with composure, not enduring evil without fretfulness, uneasiness, and a desire or effort to get rid of evil. Webster's 1828 dictionary simply says, waiting patiently means the church is not uneasy as in expressing any doubts in the promised return. 2 Peter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The church is not fretful under suffering. We should bear pain as Christians with composure. The church is confident that God is in control and is working according to His own plan and on His own timetable. That's what it means. That's what I'm preaching on tonight. And we will just get one of these. But simply observing patiently. What do we do while we wait? What should we be occupied in? What should we be finding ourselves doing on a daily basis until He comes? While we wait, we should absolutely, without hesitation, we should be observing in patience. Romans 8:28. How can we observe in patience? Listen, we're almost done. And I know I've read a lot of Scripture tonight, but Scripture is way more important than what I can say about Scripture. You say, but the world's got so crazy, and the world's so wicked, and how can I observe and in patience? How can I do that? Because, listen to me, listen to these verses, and I hope this will encourage you to help you see and know deep down in your heart that you are on the winning side. If you're saved, we are on the winning side. And it may look rough, and it may look dark, and it may look bleak, but I promise you the church ain't going under. The church is going up. We are on the winning side. We sang that this morning. We are on the winning side. And I meant to joke with Brother David at all you Clemson Tigers expense this morning. I said, boy, he's got some nerve to get up after last night and sing "We're on the winning side." I'm just kidding. Just a little jab. I'm just kidding. You'll be able to get me back when they play Carolina in a couple of weeks. Romans 8:28. Observing in patience. How can we be confident and do that? And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. I'm not going to preach that. But if He called you, and He did, if you're saved, you didn't call Him, He called you. If you're a child of God, you didn't seek God. No man seeketh after God on his own. God made the first move, and God came to where you was, and He called you by name. And when He called you, then He justified. If you said, "Yes, Lord, save me, Lord. I repent of my sin." He called you, and then He justified you. And when He justified you, keep this in mind. We're talking about occupying and being patient until He comes. If you're saved, if you are called by the name of God, if you're justified by the God of heaven, there's coming a day soon and very soon that you will be glorified, made perfect, pure, holy as God Himself. And that ought to help every one of us to observe in patience. It goes on to say, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Just dealt with that early in the service. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The church don't need to get lazy and go to sleep and allow our lamps to go out while we wait. We should be busy observing in patience. Matthew, speaking of getting lazy and falling asleep and letting our lights go out, Matthew 25 verse 5 says, "While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." When he comes, you better have oil in your lamp. So how do I do that? You got to have the Holy Ghost of God in you. How do I do that? You get born again. And when you get born again, I don't care what the Pentecostals and the holiness say, listen to me. There is no second filling. There is no baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you get saved, the Holy Ghost of God moves in you immediately. You get all of the Holy Ghost when you get saved. Now, He may get more of you the longer you're saved, but you won't get more of Him. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is a type all throughout the Word of God of oil. Waiting patiently means patiently faithful and still believing God when Jesus returns. Luke 18:8, "I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" I'm done. But that verse has bothered me for years. When Jesus comes, will He find faith in the earth? Meaning the church is going to be so backslid, so lukewarm. The children of God are going to be so worldly. There's going to be so little of faith that Jesus had to ask the question, when I return, will I even find faith? So I say to us all, while we wait, observe in patience, looking every day, looking for Him to come. I promise you, if you wake up in the morning and you look for Him to come, it'll change the way you live tomorrow. I mean, get honest. Get honest. I'm right now done, but be honest. When's the last time you woke up? I've been guilty. When's the last time you woke up? And rather than looking up when you woke up, you reached over on the nightstand and looked on the phone and seen who talked to you on Facebook or what the news said or who won the ball game. And if it wasn't your phone, you get up to go fix your coffee and start your day. When's the last time me and you woke up and looked up and said, this could be the day? I'm observing. Patiently, but I'm observing. I'm looking for You to come today, Lord. It'll change the way we live. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name.